Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. First on the docket today, maybe if someone at the Arizona Department of Child Protective Services had investigated the two complaints, things would have been a lot different. Second, the Murdoch case takes an unexpected twist. And then finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button, as well as hit that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. Now, today is Tuesday, which means we'll be going live tonight, 6 p.m. Mountain Time. Please join us. And as always, don't forget to follow us, obviously, on YouTube, but Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and even TikTok, I hear. And as always, you can listen to us, if you can't watch Crime Talk, by downloading us on any of your favorite podcasting sites. Just simply look up Crime Talk with Scott Reich. All right, ladies and gentlemen, as we have seen over the last several weeks, hurricanes, the remnants of hurricanes, they can cause a lot of damage. I saw a report over the weekend that down in Louisiana, for example, there were still 900,000 people without electricity. All those people aren't going to just run out to the food store and get what they need. These people needed to be prepared. A lot of them were. But the reality of it is that you need to prepare for the unexpected. And what's the best way to do that? Well, you go to crimetalkprep.com and you can get a four-week emergency food kit. And when you order, you get $50 off and free shipping. Listen, this is a responsible thing to do. This isn't some crazy thing that people stock up and wait for the end times kind of thing. This is stuff that you have ready for an emergency, whether it's a natural disaster, something that's man-made, or just unexpected emergencies come up, you need to be prepared. Go to crimetalkprep.com and get your four-week emergency food kit now. Just remember, $50 off your first order, and guess what? Free shipping. You'll be happy you did. All right, let's get straight to the docket. First, maybe if the Arizona Department of Child Services had investigated two complaints that were reported to them, things maybe would have been a little different. So, as most people know, at the end of January 2019, Charles Vallow called the Gilbert Police Department after he returned home from a business trip and told officers that he thought Lori's religious beliefs turned radical and that he feared for his own life and that of his children. Now, according to emails released by the Chandler Police Department, Charles Vallow shared his concerns with staff at JJ's school, which was the Life Academy in Gilbert, and noted he had to file an order of protection against his wife. In February of 2019, emails show the school told police they reported to Child Services to ensure we were doing our due diligence in protecting JJ, which is required in most states where if there is a report of a child abuse situation, it has to be reported to the police as well as to the local Child Protective Services. Well, there's other emails between the Chandler Police Department and the FBI in December of 2019, which indicate that the Department of Child Services had another report about the family. Now, DCS confirms it received two communications about the Vallow family in 2019, but claimed that neither resulted in an investigation because there was no showing of abuse or neglect. That's interesting since they didn't really investigate. I guess they figured if there were no bruises on somebody's body, everything must have just been fine. As we now know, the Vallow then moved her children to Rexburg, Idaho. Ryan was last seen on September 8th of 2019. JJ Vallow was last seen on September 23rd of 2019. Investigators believe those dates coincide with the days that they died. This is the type of case where I think a lot of people are going to look back and say, if we had only acted or acted sooner that they possibly could have saved the lives of JJ and Ty Lee. Sad situation, and now we just have the circus that remains. All right, next on the docket, the Alex Murdaugh case. That's right, everything's getting a little weird in the Murdaugh case for sure. So Alex Murdaugh, he was the now former prominent South Carolina lawyer whose wife Maggie and son Paul had been found shot to death on their family's hunting property. Now, Paul Murdaugh was awaiting trial related to a boating accident in 2019 that killed 19-year-old Mallory Beach. Now, the law firm that was founded by Paul Murdaugh's great-grandfather, Randolph Murdaugh Sr., said Monday that it had pushed Alex Murdaugh out after they learned that he allegedly misappropriated millions of dollars from the law firm and told him the allegations about it on Friday. Now, Murdaugh's former law firm said in the statement that forensic accounting firms had investigated the suspected misappropriation. They had notified the South Carolina bar as well as law enforcement of the findings. The firm itself did not say exactly how much money was missing, but a member of the firm said it was in the, quote, millions of dollars, end quote. Now, Alex Murdaugh, who's 53, announced Monday that he had resigned the position at the law firm founded by his great-grandfather, and would enter rehab after a long battle that he said had been exacerbated by the murders of his wife and son. Alex Murdaugh's addiction issues apparently have to do with opioid addiction, which has allegedly done his best to conceal from his partners and family. He's also reportedly become a central focus of multiple ongoing law enforcement inquiries. Alex Murdaugh released a statement through his attorney, and I'm quoting, quote, "I am immensely sorry to everyone I've hurt, including my family, friends, and colleagues. I ask for prayers as I rehabilitate myself and my relationships." Now, this news all came just one day after getting the news that Alex Murdaugh was allegedly and mysteriously shot in the head, grazing head wound apparently, on a rural road in Hampton County, South Carolina. It's alleged that about at 1:34 p.m. on Saturday, Alex Murdaugh called 911 to report that he had been shot on Old Salcahatchie Road near Varnville, South Carolina. Murdaugh was then airlifted to Parker's Emergency and Trauma Center in Savannah. One of Murdaugh's attorneys, Jim Griffin, said Murdaugh was released from the hospital on Monday after treatment for the superficial gunshot wound. According to the Murdaugh's account of the shooting on Saturday, he had a flat tire while driving to Charleston in his black Mercedes SUV. He apparently stopped to change it while he was working on the vehicle. A truck passed by, turned around, came back. Someone inside opened fire. There's been no arrests and no suspects announced. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this case is getting weird. I told you there was something about this case that didn't seem right. The fact that there were no suspects, and then Alex Murdaugh gets shot on Saturday with this grazing head wound. Listen, there are cell phone towers all about that area, and the police would be able to see what cell phones were pinging off that area. They would have a suspect. Now, I'm not saying that he inflicted a superficial head wound upon himself. He very well may have been shot, but the whole thing sounds a little suspicious to me, particularly in light of the fact Alex Murdaugh, who was made out to be this great, highly influential attorney, basically now is being accused of stealing millions of dollars from his law firm. Suddenly, the plot thickens for sure. Now, I get it. If he has an opioid addiction issue, we all hope that he gets better. But guess what? He's probably no longer going to be a highly respected attorney because he's going to lose his license. Not for the opioid abuse. That can happen to anybody. As long as he gets treatment, then he'll be fine. But the fact that he allegedly stole, and if it turned out that he It did, in fact, steal the money from the law firm. Guess what? He's not going to be a lawyer anymore, and he is probably going to have a felony conviction with the pretty good chance of going to prison with that amount of money being stolen. So the plot thickens. Now we have a whole new realm of potential suspects. We'll see if Alex Murdoch basically comes clean with the police and tells them everything that he may know, and oh, maybe everyone that he may owe money to, so that the police can properly investigate them to see if they're suspects in the death of his wife and son. The plot thickens, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned. Next on the docket, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the dumb criminal contestant from last week, and then our new contestant for this week. Well, last week's winner was Chloe Rozac. That's right, the 24-year-old Illinois woman who was accused of falsifying vaccine cards to get on a plane to her Hawaii vacation. How did she get spotted? That's right. She spelled Moderna as Moderna, M-A-D-E-R-N-A, on her cards, and the authorities quickly caught her bogus cards, and her plan quickly became unraveled. So just remember, like all things in life, if you're going to have to falsify documents, at least make sure you get the spelling correct. Congratulations, you are a dumb criminal contestant of the week. What does that mean? That's right. Cool Crime Talk merchandise for you. We'll ship it out. No spelling required. Our dumb criminal contestant of the day, please meet Nicholas Ruthenberg. Now, he was driving on the wrong side of the road in Vero Beach, Florida, when he got in an accident and was seen immediately fleeing the scene of the car crash that he caused. Now, the 25-year-old man had just been married earlier in the day, and he was arrested near the scene of the crash. Now, authorities say that he was acting erratically and appeared as if he were under the influence of an unknown substance. So upon arrival at the county jail, Ruthenberg declared all hail Donald Trump while failing a series of sobriety tests. His BAC was 0.0, which quickly prompted the police to ask for a urine sample. As the police prepared for the urine sample, Ruthenberg started to take his pants off and then spread his buttocks, during which time he placed multiple fingers in his anus. Ruthenberg was then placed back into handcuffs, hopefully with some sort of cleansing device. Ruthenberg was then photographed struggling with the jail personnel as they sought to take his mugshot. Ruthenberg was charged with DUI and leaving the scene of an accident, causing serious bodily injury. He was then released from the county jail after posting a $2,000 bond. Now, Ruthenberg, who lives about 15 miles from Vero Beach, is a registered Democrat, which is a little odd that he would say hail Donald Trump. And according to Florida voting records, the email address he provided when registering to vote is ifarted69@gmail.com. At least we'll know how to get a hold of him when we have a winner, if he's declared the winner of the dumb criminal contestant for sure. But I think this shows that maybe perhaps this isn't just a one-night aberration. This may be a lifestyle for Mr. Ruthenberg. All right, we'll let you know how the voting tabulates next week and whether he is our dumb criminal contestant of the week. And remember, all of our dumb criminal contestants of the day ultimately compete against each other at the end of the week for the grand prize of the dumb criminal contestant winner, who will receive cool Crime Talk gear. Now, if you would like to receive Crime Talk gear without having to become a dumb criminal contestant, simply go to the link below. It takes you right there. Order your gear. They'll have it to you in no time. All right. Thanks for watching. Please join us this evening at 6 p.m. Mountain Time for our live show, and then we'll do our Patreon show immediately following thereafter. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.